this evening I want to share a message called the Eternal Fire, because that's who God is. And it speaks about the 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45 says that Jesus is a life-giving spirit. In other words, there's no stop to his life. There's no end to what he has. God doesn't have a burnt out moment. God doesn't have, wow, I'm tired. You know, I'm exhausted now. You know, if you're like very busy, like a weekend like this, most of us are like, I'm tired. God doesn't have those moments. He's the eternal flame. He's the eternal fire. There's no limit to God's power. There's no limit to him. And like I said there, Jesus is the perpetual life giving. In other words, there's no stop to it. It's ever ending. It's never going to stop. The life that Jesus has, the life that God has, is never going to stop. Now quickly turn to the person next to you and say, keep the heat. Keep the heat. We're never going to get enough from God. Say to the person on your other side, you're never going to have enough. Okay, now to the other person behind you, and say, turn and burn. We got it completely wrong. It's not turn or burn, it's turn and burn. You know? That's what scripture teaches. That's what Jesus says. John the Baptist comes to Jesus. He says, he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. God comes to Moses in the burning bush, and he burns, and the bush burns, and the bush burns, and it doesn't stop burning. So many places through scripture, the Holy Spirit is symbolized by fire. So many times, God is represented by fire. God is called an all-consuming fire. An all-consuming fire. It's the picture, so many times we use the flame as the picture of holiness. God wants us to be holy. We're going to talk about that. That's part of knowing God as the eternal fire, is holiness. But the picture is that of a flame. Flame is burning. If the moth comes close to the fire, what happens? Burn. Okay? Is it because the flame is angry towards the moth? No. Is it because the flame has anything against the moth? No. The moth has not decided in himself to respect the flame. Okay? That is the picture of holiness. Because God, and scripture says, he's an all-consuming fire. He's holy God. He's a God that is to be respected. And the image there is the image of fire. Like I said, John says that Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus in Revelation chapter 19, the image of Jesus, John gets a glimpse of the ascended Jesus, not the Jesus on the cross, not the Jesus as we see in children's Bibles or even in the movies, but the real Jesus. The real Jesus has got flames of fire from his eyes. Flames of fire comes from his eyes. So our God is a eternal fire, and he never stops. And we're never going to get enough from God. We're going to never have enough of him. Before we go on, I want to just stop for a moment. The new members, really excited. It was such an awesome celebration receiving you guys. I just want to commend you. And I want to just encourage you in that, have an expectation that God's going to bless you. David, one of the prayers that he prayed so often, go read the Psalms, he says, God, honor your covenant. And then watch how God loves to honor his covenant. So I want you actually to have an expectation. Pastor Fred was sharing last week, we so much focus on the vertical part of the cross, but then there's the horizontal. It's relationship with God, but it's relationship with one another. It's covenant with God, but it's covenant with one another. And that is part of this picture of the flame, If you look at a fire, and we often use this analogy, but if you look at a fire and there's coals in the fire, if you take the coal and you take it out of the fire, what happens very quickly? That flame dies. That coal becomes cold very quickly, especially if it's as cold as in Cape Town the last couple of days. Fortunately, we had some sun today. Wasn't that great? Wesley goes, yes. But the picture is that if there's a fire, there's heat, there's warmth, the fire burns, the coal is alive. But when you take it out, it dies. But when you bring it back in, very, very quickly, it just catches the momentum. It catches the fire. So much of what I'm sharing tonight is important that we catch it both ways, up towards God vertically and horizontally. I would encourage you, if you weren't here last week, go and download the message, or like Fred says, get the tape. There's no tape, unfortunately, I'm sorry. But you can download the message. All right, fire, the Merriam-Webster dictionary explains fire as the phenomenon of combustion manifested in three things: light, flame, and heat. That is fire, it's pretty obvious. But note those three parts: light, flame, and heat. Another definition of fire is burning passion. That's in a figurative sense, a burning passion, a fire in our hearts, and we're going to talk lots about that. And then thirdly, and listen to this, those of you that were here yesterday, liveliness of imagination. Fire is a liveliness, and I see that picture. Pastor Fred was sharing about the fact that God has made us in His image. He's made us very amazingly. And we so often, not just ourselves, but society, the world, I'm not going to share His whole message, but so often we get limited in our capacity and who we are in our spirits. The Bible talks and says we've been born again. Talks about our spirits being born again, being activated. Then he said that when we're young, it's like we go through these experiences. Our imaginations are so alive. He used the example of little Jimmy, and it's always little Jimmy. In any case, he says you go up to Jimmy, and if you really want to get Jimmy going, Jimmy excited, you say to Jimmy, "You're the cowboy, I'm the crook. Go get the hat. Go do this. Go run. We're gonna play." And then Jimmy gets his things. He puts on the hat. He plays, and everything happens. He also used the analogy of the little kid sitting in the sandpit with a Chinese kid, and within a year, he picks up Mandarin, which is, like you said, the most complicated language in the world. But in that playing, in that, like you said, fun, having fun together, connecting with the true reality of who we are, things happen. Things happen so much quicker, and unfortunately we get limited in the structure of society, and go and listen to the message. We'll make it available in some sort of way. But now what I'm talking about is what happened over the weekend, and that rekindling, that reconnecting of the imagination, that coming to that place where God has formed you and I, but now not just in that, but in the maintaining. In the not just it being a moment, but in continuing with God and continuing in what He has done, it is important to continuously connect with Him as the eternal fire. Eternal obviously means lasting or existing forever without end. And I really witnessed with what Liana shared in this intercession and just now. But one of the things that the Lord has been speaking to us so clearly this year is, and this is specifically for us as a church, is it's not just about God's voice. It's not just about His instruction. It's not just about what He's saying. But it's so often His presence, His being, Him being with us and we being with Him. That is so encouraging. Something really awesome to celebrate, for those of you that haven't heard, but the Wolfarts have left the hospital. Little Leah, Yes, put your hands together. That's really something to celebrate. For those of you that don't know, little Leah is a little baby that was born. What was it, 29 weeks? 29 weeks, am I right? 29 weeks, so she was born exceptionally early. It's a real miracle that she's leaving the hospital today. And I think it's a significant moment for us as a family as well. A significant turnaround, actually. One of the words that Pastor Fred said, it's a turnaround, and it's not coincidence that, you know, today. And it's really something to celebrate. So send the Wolfarts a message, and it's something really awesome. We must throw one big party at Leah's out. Right, follow me with me on the screen. John chapter 14, verse 15. I'm going to read all the way to verse 28. Jesus, his last moments with his disciples. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." And I want you to notice, I said earlier, characteristics of fire is heat, flame, and light. Now see the picture in Jesus describing the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that will be with us. Verse 17, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it never sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Note that last sentence. "I will manifest myself to him." Then Judas said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" In other words, he's saying, how's it possible? You're going to reveal, manifest means being made to the light, being able to see and know. He says, how is it that the world will manifest, that you will manifest yourself to us but not to the world? Then Jesus answered him and says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and the Father will love him, and we will come." Note there, it says, "We will come." We sang the creed this afternoon again. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. "We will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." One of those really pivotal moments for the disciples, one of those real moments in Scripture. Jesus saying, listen, what you, and I can actually imagine that it was quite an emotional moment. What you've experienced over the past 3 years with me, walking with me, seeing what I did, doing what I did, at some places I sent you out, you saw me, you were with me, there was some rebuking involved, there were some tears involved, it was like a roller coaster journey. Now Jesus says, what you've seen, what you've experienced, don't worry, don't be afraid. I'm not going away. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. In fact, I'm going to come back and I'm going to make my home inside of you. And it's going to actually be better for you. It's going to be more beneficial for you that I go away so that the helper can come. The helper obviously being the Holy Spirit. And obviously, the Holy Spirit, we so often miss this, is the Holy Spirit. He's holy. He's holy. All right? We're going to talk about that just now. So let's talk about three parts of that scripture, and I'll refer to certain sections at certain points. But the first one is, like I said, fire is characterized by the fact that it brings light. Okay, if you've got a fire, if you burn a fire here, there's going to be light. Okay? Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know, for he dwells with you and will be in you. One of the other things that scripture says, it says, Jesus says, he will bring to remembrance the things that I said to you. In other words, he's saying one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, one of the ways that the Holy Spirit operates is he's going to bring light. He's going to bring light to your lives. In other words, you're going to know what is truth from falsehood. You're going to know what is right from wrong. Actually, it's more of a case of you're going to know what is life from death. Deuteronomy 28 says, God sets before us life and death. And so often we think it's a choice between, should I do this? Is it the right thing? Is it the wrong thing? But God actually doesn't think like that. God thinks, is this the life thing or is it the death thing? Big difference. Okay? Legalism says, is it right? Is it wrong? God says, is it life? Is it death? Choose life. Choose life. I've set before you life. One of the first words that the Gospel of John says, verse 4 and 5 of chapter 1, he says, Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He says, listen, light and truth is actually in the form of a person. This person is Jesus. If Jesus walks into the room, everyone knows. He's light, and his light shines. And the more that the reality of Christ in your life happens, the more it radiates from you. It's that presence of God. It's that fire around us. The more Christ comes into your life, the more that light shines around you. Have you noticed the closer you get to God, the more people get convicted around you? Yes, I love this story. Reinhard Bonnke shares once, he said he went into, it was way back in his starting days of doing crusades, and he went into a shop, and he wanted to buy a keyboard. And he went around, looked at the keyboards, and at a stage, someone came to him, and he didn't preach at all. He was focused. He wanted to get the keyboard. That's the only thing he wanted. He didn't think of, weird for Reinhard Bonnke, but he didn't think of getting someone saved or anything. He was just, I'm getting a keyboard. So a man comes up to him. He hasn't spoken a word to him. And he says to him, listen, there's something about you. Can you lead me to Jesus? Out of nothing. And Reinhard Bonnke says, he was so confused. He didn't know why, because he's always, believed that if you preach, then it happens, And, he didn't preach a word, but, so he was wrestling with God. And he says, eventually the Lord said to him the following. He says, Reinhard, I come to make my home in you. And sometimes I like to peek through the windows. I thought that's very funny. But it's so real. Jesus lives inside of him. It says here, he makes his home inside of us. He makes his home inside of us. And it's a reality. It's not a something we imagine. It's not a something we come up with. It's real. He lives inside of him. That light is inside of us, and it is made manifest to this world. The other thing about this light is brings us to a place of understanding God's holiness. The amazing thing about Jesus is if those eyes look at you, like I said earlier, those flames of fire, he looks right through you. Who's experienced that? You're worshiping God and then you just know. You just feel, okay, something's happening here, but I feel naked. I feel bare. God can see right through me. He can see every thought of my mind. Sometimes we come to God in worship and, you know, we think these things, but we think we can pretend with God, and then we just really connect with him and realize, okay, well, I feel really stupid here because he actually knew all my thoughts. He sees right through me. That's the eyes of Jesus. That's the holy God that we know. And he says, be holy because I am holy. If we know that God, then our lives get sorted out quickly. You know that you hunger for the thing that you are intimate with. You hunger for the thing that you are intimate with. If you are intimate with things of this world, Facebook, Liana says, if you are intimate with Facebook, then you are going to crave Facebook. If you are intimate with pornography, you're going to crave pornography. All right? If you're intimate with Jesus, you're going to crave Jesus. All right? It's about what you are intimate with. You cultivate a hunger for that thing. I'm so amazed. It's really amazing being a father. You learn so much about the father's heart. And my girl is not the touchy-feely type. You know, I think I've said this often. She doesn't do lots of hugs and kisses. But every now and again, you'll get a hug. But I've learned so much. From just observing just how she operates. And I've realized that the more time I spend with her, the more open she's just to come to me. The more open she's just to spend time with me and come closer to me. You know, and she always has, when I come home, she always has this thing, this girl's thing. You know, I always have to win her. A little heart, you know. She goes and when I get home, she walks the other way, and then it's this whole process of having to find her heart and having to. Then eventually she comes and sits on the lap and so on. But what I realized on Friday night with the leadership conference, we had a bit of a swap. Liana was here and I had a daddy night with the kids, and so. She's very good with controlling her daddy and letting her daddy keep her up till 9 o'clock in the evening when she was supposed to sleep at 6:30. So we had lots of quality time together. And it was amazing to see the next day, Saturday actually, she was playing around here. And then when she saw me, her whole face lit up. And she was like, Papa, Daddy. And you know, obviously I got completely distracted. I forgot completely. I was standing here. I forgot what I had to say. But something happened. You know, she just lit up. And that was just such a picture of our relationships with the Father. That's not going to happen if we don't cultivate that relationship with the Father. You know, if we intimate with other things, if we intimate with movies and the things of this world, guess what? You're not going to light up when you get into worship. There's not going to be that passion, that burning passion that God has for you, that he wants to live in and through you, unless you cultivate it. Unless you are faithful in getting up. If you are faithful in those 15 minutes gaps that you have just to connect and refocus with the Father. Because that is the love that he has for you. The Father is light. Second thing is the Father is a flame. That fire, the characteristic is of a flame. And it speaks of the passion from within. Of John 14. If you love me, starts off and it says, my love and your love for me is measured by the fact that you keep my commandments. In other words, If you really get to know my presence, then yes, there's a place where you're going to hear my voice. You're going to get the instruction and you're going to go. And you're going to obey what I want you to do. All right? But there's first a coming. There's first a coming to God. Jesus goes on and further. He says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Okay? Right? It's interesting. It's almost like it's contradicting you. He says, there's a time that's going to happen very soon where the world's not going to see me, but you're going to know me because I'm going to manifest myself to you. And why it's contradicting is because Jesus starts, if he says, firstly, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What is Jesus' commandments? His commandments is to go out, to be his representatives in the world, to reflect his glory to the world, to go and make disciples. All right? That is his commandment. But he says to them, the world will no longer see me, but they're going to see you. Are you getting this? They're going to see you, but I'm going to be in you. I'm going to make my home in you. The way that they're going to see me, and the only way they're not going to see me anymore, the only way that they're going to know about me is if they see you. Like Pastor Fred was sharing last week. They will know you. They will know me by the love that you have for one another. They'll know that you are my disciples. They'll see something about the dynamic that is. They'll see the fire. And they'll desire the fire. But there's this place where God calls us to be a flame. God calls us to have this flame inside of us. But a flame that doesn't stop. A flame that doesn't get lesser and lesser and lesser, but the same flame that was burning in your heart when you met Jesus to be burning in your heart now, today. You know, so often you hear men and women of God talking about these pivotal moments, these moments where God came and changed and transformed them. And that is really great and it's really biblical. But you know what? It's about that continuous burning. It's not about those great moments. Sometimes we run after those great moments with God. But you know what? The great moments the great moments have no meaning unless you have the continual burning. Yeah. Unless that flame is continuously burning in your heart. I remember when I came to God, and this is the thing, we're talking about evangelism here, and the evangelist in the house, I have a sense that God wants to stir up the evangelists in our midst. He wants to stir up, he wants to fan a flame, the evangelist. But I remember, an evangelism isn't something that you do. It isn't something that you put on your schedule or tick list. Evangelism is a natural part of knowing God. Amen. Did you know that? Amen. If you're filled with God, you can't contain God. You can't contain yourself. It's a natural outflow. You begin to talk about it. You begin to share it to the people. I remember when I came to Christ for the first time, I was so amazed because I grew up in church my whole life. I did all the going to church and, you know, I did all the things, but I never knew the living relationship that Jesus Christ has with us. I remember I was so surprised I can go around and I can pray to God at any time. You know, I thought you have to do it quietly in your room or when you're in church. It so struck me that at any moment I could connect with God. Isn't that amazing? He's the consuming fire, but he's here. He's not at the distance. He's right here. He's burning inside of me. And I remember I said to my friend, listen, I got saved. And radically, the Lord delivered me of addiction and all kinds of things. I said to him, listen, we better go to the pubs. We better go tell the people because then last week I was still at the pubs and nobody told me. So, you know, I had to go to the pubs. You know, someone needs to go and tell the people. So the guy said to me, yes, our church is actually, we do go to the pubs every Wednesday. So let's join this group. And, you know, we every Wednesday we went to the pubs and we shared, but it wasn't a forced thing. It was just such a natural part of knowing God. You know, is to go out to share what you have received. And the challenge I want to leave before us, and the question I want to ask you is that flame that was burning when you came to Christ for the first time, is it burning more or is it burning less? Because the biblical way is it's supposed to be burning more. We're supposed to have more of a passion for God. We're supposed to have more of a fire. We're supposed to get more excited about God. And I'm a firm believer that whatever you do in your Christian walk, whatever books you read, whatever material you do, whatever teaching you listen to, whatever sermons you listen to, whatever you do, if it's not adding to the fire, then stop with it. If it's quenching the fire in your heart, get rid of it. Throw it out. Don't think about it. If it's quenching that fire. You know, and sometimes, and some of us, this is a word for some people, you need to throw away the books. Forget about the books. God is not in the book. God is wanting to connect with you. He's wanting to burn that flame. He wants you just to begin to read the word so that word can begin to burn inside of you. Throw away all the books. Throw away all the teachings, the sermons. Connect with Jesus, the real, raw Jesus. I'm talking about evangelistic fervor. And I want us to begin to pray that God would raise up the evangelists. That intercession times, I want us to begin to pray. Because I really believe that God wants to restore that to the church. And I'm not talking globally, I'm talking here. I'm talking in our church, I'm talking locally. Because evangelism, without evangelism, the church becomes stale. Without evangelism, church is boring. Church is flat. The church is supposed to go. A going church is a life-giving church. Right? Jesus is a life-giving spirit. And a church without evangelism is almost, for the guys, like a rugby team without running. You can't have rugby and just kick the ball. Guys, hey, Andre, hey, you need running rugby, all right? It's music without a beat. If you have music and there's no beat, there's something missing. My wife says yes, because then you can't dance. You can't dance on the music. There's something missing. And that's what the church is without evangelism. Evangelism is the heartbeat of the church. If the church doesn't do evangelism, the heart is missing. Because that is the heart of the Father. Jesus says, it's God's desire. It is His desire for all men to know Christ. And if God is not speaking to you, if He's not giving you that burning flame, Bible says that all must do the work of the evangelist. But if you're not there, then I want you just to at least do one thing. Start praying. Start praying for evangelists. And start praying for the harvesters. Right? Jesus says, amazing. Pray for the harvesters. Don't pray for the harvest. So often we get it completely opposite way around. We start praying for the harvest. God says, Jesus says, pray for the harvesters. Okay? And most often the harvesters is yourself. So often you're going to pray for yourself. Okay? Because the harvest is ready. There's nothing wrong with the harvest. We convinced ourselves as the modern church that there's a problem with the harvest. There's the world has moved on and we've become postmodern. We've become all of this. We've become secular humanism and all of these things. But Jesus says, you're wrong. The harvest is ready. The harvest is white. It's ready. You must just begin to go. Luke chapter 24. Verse 49, Jesus says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Promise in capital letters because it talks about the Holy Spirit. But tarry, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That flame, and we know what happened in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came. How did the Holy Spirit come? As flames of? Tongues of fire. Tongues of fire above everyone's head, and they started prophesying. They started speaking in tongues so that people could understand. There was an outflow. There was abundance. There was so much that they had to get out of the room. You know, Esther spoke about the upper room. The upper room was too small for them. God was so big in them, in and through them, that the upper room became so small that they had to get out. They had to get out. And then Peter stood up, preached a sermon, and 3,000 came to Christ. 3,000 saw the display of power from on high. And then the final thing for this evening, Jesus says, the heat. He says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Another place he says, in John 14, he says, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Another verse, or another section, I will make my home with him. Another part, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. He says, I'm going away, but I'm coming back. I'm coming back, and it's going to be more beneficial for you because, like I said earlier, I'm going to make my home with you. It's going to be so real. That habitation, that fact that I'm going to live with you is going to be so real that it's going to feel like God has made his home inside of you. It's going to be so real that the world's not going to see it, but they're going to see it in and through you. It's going to be so real because God is going to come and he's going to be with you. He's going to work through you. And that is the place that God has prepared for us. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. In that holiness part again. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The word also says, a double-minded man shall receive nothing from the Lord. A double-minded man, if you're between two places, if you're between two decisions and you cannot make up a decision, if you're between the world and the kingdom, if you're between, and Pastor Fred so powerfully spoke about dualism. Our lives, for some other reason, and society brings this upon us, our lives become so fractured. We've got this compartments where this is my compartment, this is the church compartment, this is my spiritual compartment, this is my work compartment. And we so split up that we limit God, and we not just limit God, we limit ourselves, because God cannot fill all in all. That is the word that God gave us for this weekend. God wants to fill all in all. He wants to fill every part of our being. He wants that warmth of the Holy Spirit, that heat of God to come in and through us. And it's not just this makeup experience, it's a reality. It's a real experience. And I want us to open up our hearts tonight. We're gonna connect with the Holy Spirit right now. We're gonna ask the Holy Spirit band come up, please. And if you can please stand with me. We're gonna now invite the Holy Spirit to come and bring his warmth. Because that warmth is his love. That warmth is his comfort. Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. An orphan feels cold. He feels a distant. He feels a distant from the world. He feels a distant from the Father. But a son knows the love of the Father. He knows, he's convinced, not just in his intellect, but his heart knows. His heart knows that the home is open. I can go anytime, any moment. The home is warm. It's open to me. I feel loved. It's a place I want to be. I want to be there. It's not, I don't feel forced. I don't force myself, but I want to be in God's presence. I love God's presence because it's warm. It's his love. It's his love. One of the most powerful things in Scripture, what God comes and does, and he's going to redo it. He's going to rekindle the flame in some of our lives. But the first moment that scripture that we just read was after Jesus' ascension. Sorry, just before his ascension, after his resurrection. But the very first thing that Jesus did, one of the first people that he appeared to, was two guys walking on a road, the road to Emmaus. These guys were walking and they were discussing the life of Jesus. They were confused. They were saying to each other, listen, what happened? This Jesus who said, and we were convinced he was the Messiah, or at least we thought he was a prophet, he died. This is massive anticlimax. He died. You know, he was killed. You know, we all thought he's going to rescue the nation. He's going to be the hope of the nation. We had that hope all the 3 years that we saw what happened through him, the miracles and everything. And but then he died. And then Jesus appeared to them. They didn't know it. This man, they were walking on this road. And Jesus walked right next to them. But scripture says that their eyes were closed. Their eyes were closed. And then they walked with Jesus. They explained to Jesus. They said, you know, Jesus does sort of an act. He says to them, what happened? What's going on? What are you talking about? They tell him. And then Jesus responds. He says, he rebukes them. He says, you foolish. Don't you know the power of the word? Don't you know the power of the scriptures? Then he begins to go from the prophets, from the Old Testament. He begins to explain what every man of God, David, Abram, the heroes of faith, what they saw, what they knew what was a reality. Jesus explains to them the fact that they saw Jesus. Even Abram, when he sacrificed his son, that was the open door for God to sacrifice his son. Because he saw Jesus. He's coming. The Messiah's coming. But then he rebukes them and he says to them, listen, you should have known the scriptures. And then they walk on. They go to the next place and Jesus is about to walk on. They say to him, listen, won't you come with us? It's late night. And then they come together. They take communion. They sit in the house. And as they take communion, power of communion. As they take communion, the scripture says their eyes open, and they see Jesus. They recognize him. They realize, wow, this is Jesus, right? Yeah, he's resurrected. And then the scripture says he disappears, gone. And the thing that they say, you can go and read it in Luke, the book of Luke. They say afterwards the following. They say, did not our hearts burn within us while he opened up the scriptures to us? Did not our hearts burn? It wasn't a spiritual experience. It was an actual experience. Their hearts burned. There's something in the core of their being that responded to Jesus, to his word. There's something in the core of your being that wants to respond. There's an igniting that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your imagination. Reignite. And he started the process. But he wants to rekindle that fire in your heart. He wants to reawaken that passion, that burning zeal, that moment when you come into the house of God and you're so excited. There's nothing greater that you can think of. You don't even have to fight against the thoughts and the things distracting you, because it's not even there. God's consuming fire burns everything away. The Bible talks about everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ, where the Holy Spirit comes and he burns it away. Because nothing in us is supposed to exalt itself above the name of Jesus. So we're going to I want you to just stretch out your hands to heaven. Say, God, I want to receive you. I want to receive your power. Just in your own words. Don't wait for me to prompt you. Just begin to speak to God. And I want you to do it with a passion. Don't think about the person next to you. Just begin to speak to God. Say, God, I want you. I want your fullness. I want your life. I want your fire, Lord, to burn inside of me. I want your abundance, God. Speak to God. Just speak to him.